The scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. First, Ezekiel chapter 47, and verse 1 through 5. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate, by way of the gate that faced east. And behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Senior pastor will deliver the fifth message of God Measures Our Faith.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN and Malmin TV viewing audiences. This is the fifth session in the series on God Measures Our Faith. In the last session, I gave you the general ideas about sins depriving salvation and sins leading to death. The Bible in general tells us that works of the flesh are the sins that deprive or take away salvation. But not all works of the flesh are sins depriving of salvation. Once again, works of the flesh can be categorized into three kinds. They are, first, relatively lighter works of the flesh. Second, works of the flesh depriving of salvation. And third, works of the flesh leading to death. From today, let us delve into the sins depriving of salvation mentioned in the Bible. Of course, I believe none of you will think as follows. This sin is not a work of the flesh that will deprive me of salvation, so I don't have to cast it away immediately. As I mentioned in the last session, although they are not sins by which you cannot receive your salvation, if you keep on committing them, they may deprive you of salvation. I gave you an example of a husband who habitually hits her wife for many decades. He listens to the word of the truth again and again, and yet he does not cast away work of the flesh. It proves that he has not circumcised his heart. Such a person cannot be considered a child of God who has faith. Therefore, I urge you, in the name of the Lord, that you will hate and be wary about all sins, whether they are small, big, light, or heavy. I also urge you to cast away sinful natures in your heart quickly. Brothers and sisters, the Old Testament says that certain sinners are to be put to death and are to be cut off from among the people of God. These are the sins that deprive of salvation. In the New Testament, it says, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven, or they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or it says, they will be thrown out into the darkness. And all these sins are also the sins depriving of salvation. Let us talk about these sins one by one. First, it is idolatry. Prohibition of idolatry is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments given by God. The summary of all the commandments is the Ten Commandments, and the first one of the Ten Commandments is the prohibition of idolatry. In Exodus 23, God commands us, commands of us, you shall have no other gods before me. God tells us, you shall have no other gods before me, the God, the Almighty. In Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verses 2-5, it says that those who worshipped other gods did an abomination, and the people had to be, bring them outside the city and stone them to death. It was an abomination, so they had to bring them outside the city and stone them. In Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we can find prohibition and warnings against idolatry. God says they would perish and be cursed if they worshipped idols. God warned them time and again. So those who are in idol worshipping, if you look at them, look at their ancestors and descendants, if you look at their families, most of them have mental disorders, demon possessions, and handicaps, and so many other things. And the families, they suffer from so many trials and difficulties. Nevertheless, we can see in the history that the sons of Israel repeatedly worshipped idols. As retribution, they had wars, famine, diseases, and finally, the whole country was destroyed. They had famine, diseases, and wars because of idolatry. The first case of idolatry after the Exodus took place during the time that Moses went up to Mount Sinai to communicate with God. When Moses' return was delayed, the people would not wait just a little while longer. They made the image of a golden calf and worshipped it. God was enraged, and he wanted to destroy all of them because they worshipped an idol, the golden calf. And this enraged God. This made God enraged, and he wanted to destroy all of them. But Moses interceded for them, putting up his own life, saying, "Forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written." So in this book are written the names of those who are saved, the names of the children of God, the citizens of heavenly kingdom. And are your names written on it? Yes. It says on which date, on which month, in which month of which year you accepted Jesus Christ in the church. And it says you are children of God who accepted Jesus Christ on this date, in which month, in which year. And you've become a child of God, a citizen of heavenly kingdom. Moses' name was also written on the book of life, and he was saying, "Blot me out. Please save them, and if not, blot me out from your book." He was putting up his own life. Through his intercession, Israel avoided being destroyed completely. But in the latter part of Exodus 30-34, God told them that there would be retribution, saying, "Nevertheless, in the day when I will punish them for their sin." In Numbers chapter 25, many Israelites bowed before idol even after this incident. The people were tempted by the Moabite women, worshipping their gods and committing adultery with them. They were bowing down, bowing before idols, and they were committing adultery with the women. So God said, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them." And a total of 24,000 people, including the Moabite women, died by the plague. Because they were tempted and bowed before idols, the leaders of the people were executed, and more than 24,000 people, including Moabite women, died by the plague. We can see that idolatry is a sin depriving of salvation in the New Testament too. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10 mentions idolatry as a sin that deprives us of inheriting the kingdom of God. If you commit these sins, if you commit idolatry, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Revelation 21:8 also includes idol worshippers among those who will participate in the second death, those who will fall into the lake of fire or sulfur. Dear brothers and sisters, now, what specific things did God forbid in idolatry? First, He forbade making an image and worshiping it. When we worship God, we don't make any images. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5 says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. You shall not worship them or serve them." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 16 to 19, God explains about this in more detail through Moses, giving a warning for people. It says, "So that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth." And beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. People, animals, the sun and the moon and the stars are all things created by God the Creator. If we do not worship God the Creator, but these things He created, how ridiculous it is. But many people foolishly make images of creatures such as man or animals and worship them. They carve the rocks or mold metal to make idols and worship them as gods, as their gods. Now who carved these images? It is done by man. They are carved by sculptors, and they wish blessings. They pray for blessings before these carved images. How can these images give you any blessing? Can they heal you? Can that image open their eyes and blink their eyes? Does the blood circulate? Do they breathe? Do they hear? They have ears, but do they hear? If they pray before them, do they nod to answer you? There's no blood circulation. There's no breathing. They can't even blink. And they are made by man. They're carved by man. And they wish blessings before those images. And they worship these things as their gods. The Lord of all creatures, men, are doing this. Animals don't do that. And men, people, human beings who are Lord of all creatures, they make these images and they pray for blessings before these images. Such a thing does not happen only in other religions. There are some people who say they believe in the Lord Jesus, but make the images of the patriarchs and worship them. Today in some churches, we can see these things. The church I used to attend before, and also some believers in their homes, they make these images of men and they worship them, saying they are God. They kneel before these images to pray. And do you have any? Is there anybody who is doing that among all mommy members? I believe not. Somebody in the 80s, this person was about to register in a church and he saw no image of Jesus in the church, whether outside or inside. So he thought this church has something strange and he just left. If you put some image or painting of Jesus, some people worship it. Is it Jesus' face? Is it Jesus' body? No. It is a painting, just a painting done by somebody. It is painted by somebody. It's drawn by somebody. So all countries, different countries, have different images of Jesus. The color of hair is different. The color of the skin is different. And they worship it as Jesus. Does it make sense? Nobody saw Jesus. How can they just draw something, paint something, and say it is Jesus? And they worship this painting. It doesn't make sense. So we don't have any image or any painting of Jesus. Nowhere. Because we know the truth. But some churches, I hope they will listen to this message and I hope they will just take out these paintings. They are just painted by people. These images are not Jesus. If you really see, if you really have the picture of Jesus, we'll just put the picture everywhere, you know, with the golden frame and everything. We'll put Jesus' face everywhere, you know, to fill the whole walls. But there's no image of Jesus. They're not real. They're all just the imagination painted by man. Let me give you an example. Let me tell you in an allegory. Suppose your parents died at a young age, when you were young. And you miss them, so you paint something. And you ask a painter to draw a portrait or something. They can't draw anything. They don't have any pictures or anything. So you just say, oh, just paint something. Draw something, any face. Make it beautiful. And you say, you say father, mother, and you call that painting father, mother. If that person is a believer, and if he goes to heaven, I mean, if the parents are in heaven, and how sad it is, you know, there is a painting that is by no means they're the parents, and this son is worshiping, I mean, saying this, calling this painting father and mother. It's the same. It's just a random painting, and you serve it as your parents. It doesn't make sense. Suppose your children died early. You don't have any pictures or anything, so you can't. You don't have anything, and you just a random painter paints a random painting, and you cannot say it is your son. That is why we don't have any image or painting of Jesus.
그런데 심지어 주님을 그리거나 조각하여 그 앞에 경배하기도 한다 이 말입니다.
They even paint or carve an image of the Lord and worship it. Like also they do the same for the Virgin Mary. They worship it as Saint Mary and they pray before Mary. That is why it is not right. So in the testimony of Angelica, we heard the Lord was saying that woman gave birth to me. That woman, Jesus says, the Lord says, that woman. And she doesn't know that people are worshiping her on this earth. If she had known, she would have been grieving so much. There are, of course, paintings or images that are made as remembrances of a certain event in the Bible or to let the hearers of the gospel understand better. Like that painting on the wall, like the Last Supper, the painting of the Last Supper. These things are not idols. We don't worship those paintings as the Lord and the disciples. It's just for a better understanding of the biblical events. We don't worship them as idols. But there are other cases where they make images or paint people to worship the biblical figures as gods, or believing that the image itself has some mysterious power to wash away sins or give them blessings. But the clear fact is that the painting or the image itself has no meaning at all. The one we worship is God the Father and the Lord who are in heaven and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. In this world, there is no painting or image that can show the image of God or the Lord correctly. In Deuteronomy 4:15, Moses warned the sons of Israel as follows. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire. On the day the Lord God spoke to the people at Horeb from the midst of the fire, they did not see any form. They did not see any image of God. They just heard His voice. So watch yourselves carefully. Namely, He warned them that they must not make and worship any image of God, because they had never seen any image. If they had, they could have made some image, but they didn't. And God cannot show just show His image to the people. God didn't show His face even to Moses. Moses just saw the back, the edge of the robe. Suppose 2,000 years ago, at the time of Jesus, if there was a video or photograph, if they had taken those things, we know that it is Jesus. But there was nothing like that. So we can't regenerate the face of Jesus exactly. Our God cannot be displayed by man by molding or carving an image. How can the great God be shown through just an image of this world? This God is surely alive, but many people make visible images and worship them as gods. Romans chapter 1 verses 22-23 says, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. I earnestly hope not just unbelievers, but all Christians around the world will understand the will of God clearly. In my case, in the 80s, when I was receiving the message of the cross, I saw an image of God, but I didn't, as I explained before, He is in the light, and I saw the edges of the robe, his robe, and everything was surrounded by light. And I didn't see these lights of aurora-like lights, but these lights were inexpressible lights, and I couldn't see his face. And I could see just the edge of the robe that was spread out. And that's, I once explained this to you already. Brothers and sisters, secondly, God prohibits coming in contact with evil spirits or demons. God prohibits coming in contact with evil spirits or demons. So if you are not supposed to bring those who are demon possessed or those who have mental disorders into the sanctuary, into the holy sanctuary of God. You might not understand this point, but you're not supposed to do that. Why? Because they disturb the worship service. You can't worship with those people around. They're receiving works of Satan or works of demons. They're out of their minds and they can't even listen to the word of God, nor can they understand it. They just disturb the worship service. So even before the Lord, if you read the Bible, they didn't bring demon-possessed people before the Lord. When the daughter was demon-possessed, the mother, she just left the daughter at home and she just came, the mother just came before Jesus. Also the father, who had a demon-possessed son, he just left his son at home and the father came before Jesus. They didn't bring the demon-possessed people before Jesus. And you are not supposed to bring demon-possessed people to the church. So secondly, God prohibits coming in contact with evil spirits or demons. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27 says, "Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them." Now a man or woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verses 10 to 12 says, "One who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium or a spiritist, or one who calls upon the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord." One who uses divination is the one who does fortune telling. One who casts a spell is the one who does magic by chanting a spell. And these people, they hate me. When I visited DR Congo, there were people. These people were trying to disturb my crusade. Even the president of the country was kind of opposing this crusade, but after I met with him, everything worked out for the good. But one time, there was a president of the country who invited me, but at that time also those who cast spell, these people try to disturb my ministry. Also in India, when we had the crusade in India, there are many people who cast spells. You know, there are many magicians and all those. They do all these things. They have they built altars in their homes. And also these people were afraid of me and they were casting spells against me. And later we heard the testimonies from some people. There were some reports and there were some people who were cursing me and casting spells against me. And there was one person who was casting a spell and who was casting a spell against me. And all these, all his spells, they just, he made some images and these images just fell. Although they were firmly fixed. Another person who was using a divination, one of the family members received a healing through the crusade, and the family members repented. And these people, they hate me, and they're afraid of me. And also the one who does enchantment is the one who uses magic or sorcery to make others believe he has power. The same thing happened in Korea too. There was a person who says, when he stretched his hands, the clouds come and it rains. But the believers in him, none of them had seen such a thing. But he was saying all those things, but they believed him. But none of them saw anything. But it is he was cheating people like that. But in our church, I don't just speak before I show you anything. I show you the evidence if I explain about something. On May 20th, when I had my birthday, I explained to you in the worship service that we had at 11 a.m. I explained that God gave me these lights of aurora. And right away, God began to work in the afternoon on that day itself. God worked in a way that the photos can be taken by your cell phones. I never said anything, just with words. The moving of the stars and the clouds coming out and going into the sky. When I said it, God manifested it for you. And now, this time, you could have taken these aurora lights. But you can see there are many, the Bible mentions about these lights in many places, that God has these lights. Spiritist is male sorcerers, and the one who calls upon the dead is the one who tries to foretell the future by calling a dead man's spirit. I've seen a person who calls up the dead. I think it was when I was around 7 or 8, maybe 9. I saw this person who was calling up the dead. In my village, I had a friend, and his father was the he was the government official during the Korean War, and the mother died. They had the big storage, and they had this big lock on that storage. And the door, it was also metal door, which couldn't be opened easily. And when the mother died, she hid the key somewhere and she didn't tell anybody. So they wanted to find this key. And so they called this sorcerer, and they were doing this, they were calling this spirit. And they had some rice, and they put the bamboo stick in the rice, and she was casting a spell. And at first it was shaking so much, and the demon came in. And because I know that grandmother, and that voice, the same voice would speak, the same voice of the grandmother. And she said, I hid this key because I hate you, daughter-in-law. And this kind of thing doesn't happen just for anybody. So usually men, it doesn't work for most men, but it usually works better for women. And I didn't know it, but when I after I learned the Bible, I understood it is calling up the dead. As stated, contacting evil spirits or demons other than God or imitating such an act is all idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, "No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons." So worshiping your ancestors or worshiping these things, it is to worship the demons. I do not want you to become sharers in demons. So the believers in God must never do these things. So in national holidays, they do these things. So they worship ancestors, and you never worship them. You never eat those foods. You must eat separate food. You will not eat the food that is sacrificed to idols or demons. So these sins, they are the sins depriving of salvation. But in the 80s, there was a during national holidays, I put an emphasis so much that they must never worship ancestors. At that time, many Christians were persecuted for that matter, because so in most families they worship ancestors. So I always emphasize that you must never worship idols, you must never worship demons, and you must not eat the food sacrificed to demons. And after the holidays were over, one of the church members, his mouth was turned to the side, and he couldn't speak very well. So I asked, what happened? Did you bow down before idols? And he was saying, oh, my parents forced me, so I did. He bowed. And he ate the food also. And his mouth turned to the side. He was just a new believer who didn't know the truth very well, so he repented immediately, and I prayed for him, and it came back to normal. Sometimes, even after accepting the Lord, some people worship their ancestors or follow the shamanistic traditions, not knowing the truth very well. Some of them go to fortune tellers to get their readings, or they put lucky charms, amulets, or painting in their houses. But these lucky charms, amulets, they don't drive away demons. There are demons where these charms and amulets are. Or some people read the horoscopes or fortune telling in magazines or newspapers, thinking it is just for fun. But whether big or small, this is an act of idolatry. If you don't believe it, there's no reason for you to read it. Of course, I'm not saying you will not be saved just because you do these things a couple of times when you are still a new believer and do not know the truth. But knowing the truth, however, if you do not cast it away, but put one foot on the side of the Lord and the other foot beside idols, you might have a problem receiving salvation. If you're living like that and if your spirit is cold, you cannot be saved, because it means you didn't believe in God. You didn't believe in the Lord. It's the same with loving the world. If you set one foot in the world and the other foot in the church, these people are not really believing. So they say, oh, I will find out about heaven and hell when I die. But if they die, they're already in hell because they didn't believe. Of course, they will find out when they die. But they will fall into hell already. So nobody should be saying such a foolish thing. You have to believe when you're living and receive salvation. But there is nobody like that in this church, because they always see the amazing works of God, the signs and wonders. So nobody would say such a thing. Also, the enemy, devil, and Satan will continually bring accusations against you, saying that you belong to him, and bring about trials and problems in your life.
여러분들이 이제 그 우상을 섬기고 이제 섬겼던 분들이 이제 회개하고 돌이켜 주님을 영접했습니다.
Those who worshipped idols, they repented and accepted the Lord. And in that case, you have to erase all the traces of idolatry. Suppose your parents put your names in Buddhist temples. Some people, they carve their names on the bells or on the buildings of the Buddhist temples. And it means you sold your spirit. Whether your parents did it or somebody. And if you accept the Lord, you have to erase those names. You have to take out those names. Otherwise, what happens is, the enemy devil Satan will keep on arguing that they belong to me. He's my servant. She is my servant. Because if you obey that person, if you commit sins, if you obey the devil by committing sins, you are a servant of the devil. You are a slave of the devil. So that is why the enemy devil argues that these people belong to him, because he has a reason, he has the base to claim. So he will cling on to you until the end. Even to your families, even though you are believers, the devil will bring about so many troubles into the family to win you back again. So that is why you have to erase all those traces. And there are people who are not being healed of their sicknesses because you used to worship idols before. Then in that case, you have to erase those names and traces so you can receive your healing in these special healing sessions. So the enemy, devil, and Satan will continually bring accusations against you, saying that you belong to him and bring about trials and problems in your life. Let me point out one more thing here. If you are not a new believer who does not know the truth, but a pastor or a worker of the church, and if you still worship idols, you cannot receive salvation. When you are a new believer, if you are in the first and second level of faith, you do not know the truth very well, so if you can just repent of your wrongdoings of this kind. But if you know the truth, and if you leave the church and worship idols again, it is to crucify the Lord all over again. So in this case, they cannot repent. If you know that idolatry is a sin depriving you of salvation, and if you still worship idols after tasting the divine grace, this is the sin of crucifying the Lord again to put him to open shame, as in Hebrews chapter 6. Just think about it. The Lord has saved you, but you crucify the Lord again, and you obey. You worship these idols, the demons, which is prohibited by God, and it is to crucify the Lord again. Idolatry is a sin depriving of salvation, but when those who do not know the truth very well, or those with weak faith turn from these sins, they can be forgiven, because they didn't know it. So if they repent and turn away, they can be forgiven. So most of you used to worship idols, but you didn't know. But as you came to know the truth and accepted the Lord, you came to know that it is sin and you repented of your past wrongdoings and you are forgiven. But for those who are supposed to have faith, idolatry can become the sin leading to death, and not just the sin that deprives salvation. They cannot repent or receive salvation. Therefore, you should be cautious in your worship of the only God, the Almighty Creator, and the only Savior, the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you read the Bible carefully, or if you have listened to the Word of God in this church, you wouldn't practice such evident idolatry. even if you worshipped idols before you knew the Lord, you must have already repented thoroughly, and you'd have tried to erase even the traces of it. But in fact, what believers should be more careful about is spiritual idolatry. There is a... We have to be more careful about this spiritual idolatry. An idol in spiritual sense is something that you love and cherish more than God. If you love or cherish something more than God, that is spiritual idolatry. And spiritual idolatry is a more grave sin than physical idolatry. It is not just an image that is carved by man. So what are spiritual idols? You might say, I don't have any spiritual idol. Please raise your hand if you do not have any spiritual idol. Second sanctuary? Third sanctuary? There are quite a few who don't raise their hands. Fourth sanctuary? Those who didn't raise their hands, it means you have spiritual idols. Fifth sanctuary? Sixth sanctuary? Those who didn't raise their hands, those who are on wheelchairs, they are not raising their hands. First nursery and second nursery? Please put them down. So let us find out through the message. What have you loved more than God, such as money, fame, authority, family, or pleasure, can all become an idol. Because you love money, you violate the word of God, you violate the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. You just attend morning service, and in the afternoon you open your shop because you love money. Also the pleasure. You don't keep the Lord's Day. So you watch some soccer match or baseball match, or you just worship, attend morning service, and in the afternoon you go golfing or something. These things, because you love pleasure, because you love sports, you love fame, authority, or your family members. Suppose on Sunday, there's a wedding of one of your family members, and you don't come to church to attend the wedding, because you love your family members more than God. You violate the word of God. Also because of the power. Many politicians, it's difficult for politicians to have true faith. In the 80s, I think it was in 86, there were seven congressmen who wanted to register in our church. When I was a non-ordained pastor, even when I was a non-ordained pastor, I was famous. Even now, I see the news of the politicians, those who received my prayer, quite often. And when I was a non-ordained pastor, many politicians and many businessmen, many big businessmen, they received my prayers. But since the 90s, I just refused all of those prayer requests. But when I was a non-ordained pastor, many of those people came to receive my prayer. And so when in 1986, there were seven congressmen who came to receive my prayer. And one of them, I think he had diabetes. And for that, he came to receive my prayer because they heard of the power of God. And so they were about to register in the church. So they were talking in my office. We were talking, but they said they were going to register. But after that, they said, we will register and come to church, but on Sundays, you have to excuse us. We can't come on Sundays, but we can come for Wednesday service. What is the use of attending Wednesday service so many times? It is, the important thing is to keep the Lord's Day holy. The Bible doesn't talk about a Wednesday service, but the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, it has to be kept. But they say they can't come on Sundays. The reason is, being congressmen on Sundays, there are many weddings to officiate. Many people, they request these congressmen to officiate the wedding ceremonies. I think nowadays they don't do that, but at that time, if they don't officiate these things, they can't get any votes. So they have to do these ceremonies, the weddings, the whole day on Sundays. So my answer was obvious. This church, it'll be hard for you in this church. In this church, you have to keep the Lord's Day holy, so I think you better not register. So I refused. The reason why I refused is if I allow that, the church members, how will they have true faith? They will think, oh, congressmen, they are believers, but they don't keep the Lord's Day holy. And they just officiate wedding ceremonies all day long on Sundays. And how can I teach anything? How can I teach the church members to keep the Lord's Day holy? And just because of seven congressmen, it'll be a great harm to the church members. And that is why I had to refuse. For example, if you love money, you can never love God. You can say you love God, but from your heart, you cannot love God, because your heart will go to the money. If you love something, you depart from God's love. So there is nothing I love but God. Without God, there is nothing. Same as sports or entertainment or pleasure. I never love anything more than God. My family members, I never love my family members more than I love God. Jesus said in Mark 10:25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Also, Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So greed is idolatry. Because of greed, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to hell because of this greed, because he had greed for money. He was stealing from the treasury box. Of course, he was stealing without leaving any evidence. So because he was in charge of the money box, he was stealing from it. In case of Ananias and Sapphira, because of the money, they went to hell. When the sons of Israel were attacking the city of Ai, because of greed, this man hid the things, gold and silver, and because of him, many of the sons of Israel were killed just because of one person. And the Bible mentions in many places, because of the love for money, many people do not receive salvation.
그래서 돈을 게 하나님보다 더 사랑하면 안 돼요.
So you should never love money more than God.
돈 번다고 저기 하면 안 되는 거고.
You should never work on Sundays to earn more money.
별건 아닌 듯 보이는 대상이
Something that appears to be trivial might also become an idol, so you have to be careful. So those treasures in small groups or in groups, they must never spend the membership fee at your own for your own use. All these membership fees are used for the kingdom of God too. All these fees are God's money too. If you steal this money, if you spend it and try to pay it back, and if you spend it at your own discretion, you cannot do that. It is to steal God's money. Oh, I spent it and I paid it back. It is to steal God's money and pay it back. And you steal God. You are stealing from God, the Almighty. Before, maybe they didn't know it properly in the 90s. Or they knew it, but they just did it. But later, they had the trials and sicknesses, and they had accidents and all those problems, but they didn't realize the reason why. If you know it properly, you didn't do that. And if you know it, and then if you do that, when you have troubles, you can understand the reason why. But if you don't know the truth, you commit these sins, and even if you have disasters or accidents, you don't know why these things come upon you, because you don't know you committed sins. That is why you have to understand the truth correctly. Little children or students may worship idols from time to time. If they love dolls, toys, or cartoon movies more than the Lord, and more than worshiping and praying, then it is an idol for them. And if you love soap operas or movies more than you love God, it is also an idol. Is there anybody who loves such things? Yes, even among you. You turn on the soap operas. And it is so interesting. And now you have to go to church. Now it is the time to go to church. And if the TV drama is over, you'll be late. But you have to, or there is a cell worship service. And because of Daniel prayer meeting, you're late. Because of these soap operas and all these things. You love these things more than you love God. You love to pray. You love these things more than the sacrifice given to God. So all these things are spiritual idols. In case of students, if they love singers, actors, famous athletes, or computer games more than God, it has become their idol. We have heard the testimony of Angelica. The Lord said the reason why many children go to hell is because of cartoon movies on TV. Also, He let us know that many popular singers are in hell, and those who sing their songs can also go to hell. Our Lord said, why the children are in hell because of these cartoon movies. They follow these things and they're in hell now. I explained about all these things in 80s and 90s. It's not just the Angelica. In Korea, about those celebrities whom the teenagers love, they call them idol stars.
I-D-O-L, idol star. 여러분, idol star 아세요?
I heard this expression for the first time. But when I asked the students, they all knew idol stars, this expression. These idols are literally an idol. Some of the young people do not just love the celebrities, but they worship these people like gods. If you love any celebrities, I'm not saying it is bad. You can love those people too. It's not bad to worship love your family members. It's not idol. But you must never love those people more than you love God. They fill their walls with the photos of celebrities. They memorize all the songs of the singers they like. And they follow their concerts everywhere. It is beyond the limit. Will these children love to pray more, love to worship God more? Those follow these celebrities, they love these celebrities more. So they become an idol. There are some children, students, who commit suicide following after the celebrities who committed suicide. What about their parents? Those parents, they gave birth to them and they raised them. And just because one of the singers or actors committed suicide, they follow these people. It means it is a serious idol. They pour all their hard time and money into those celebrities. Grown-ups who are supposed to be adults should also be careful. In the 80s, when my three daughters, Mi-young, and Soo-jin Lee, were in their elementary school, God's word was given. Would you leave your daughters to go to hell? I was very surprised. And God said that they loved dolls. Because they loved the dolls, these dolls became their idols. And if they were left alone, they would go to hell. That is why they had to get rid of these dolls completely. And at that time, truly, Mi-young Lee, Mi-young, I didn't know those things, so we just bought these dolls for them. So they had these dolls, and they were making clothes for the dolls, they were clothing these dolls, they were giving baths, they were combing their hairs, maybe they put some perfume on them, and they would sit these dolls in a pretty posture, and they loved dolls so much. And the word of God came upon us. And after the word was given, they all threw them out in the trash. And never again they loved these things. Never again they touched these things. And all these things can be idols for God. Because their heart is taken away. They love these things. They love the dolls. And so they would give baths, and they would, even with the soap, and they would make pretty clothes to clothe them. I don't know if they made the clothes by themselves or they asked their mother to do it. But they would comb these hairs, and they would wash their hairs, and every day they were doing this. And if you love dogs or other pets more than God, because they're living creatures, you have this affection and love. If you, dogs are supposed to be guarding the house. If you have them for that purpose, it's okay. And if you love them as pets, you love them and do such things. If you are too much into it, they, and it is a great, a lot of work to give them bath and wash them. And some people, they make clothes to clothe them. And if they get a little sick, they have to go to the vet. And they feed them with such good stuff, expensive food. They put so much effort. And if they put just a little bit of effort into saving souls, and what I'm thankful is the professor and the wife in Chuncheon, they had 12 dogs, I think. More than 12, I think. And I think you saw them. One dog was bigger than a calf. And they had these many dogs, and they loved these dogs so much. But after listening to my message, they got rid of all those dogs. And they loved these dogs for such a long time. And just by listening to this message once, they got rid of them immediately. And for them, it's not hard to cut off the worldly things at all. They can just cut off the worldly things right away if God doesn't like anything. And I watch them, how they lead their Christian life. It's not been such a long time. Since they became Christians. But they want to be forgiven of their past sins. And they want to go into spirit. And I don't know exactly, but they had committed sins in the past. And because of that, they can't go into spirit. So when they came to see me, the past sins can be forgiven because you didn't know the truth. So if you, also if you committed sins when you didn't know the truth very well, when you're a new believer, you can just repent and you can be forgiven. I don't know exactly what sin was, but the professor, the husband, soon got rid of his adulterous mind. And pastors, elders, please listen carefully. They have been a Christian for just a short time, and he just got rid of adulterous mind. He fasted so much, again and again, because he was teaching the students in the college. You know, he could like them or something. To get rid of these things, he fasted, and he just got rid of adulterous mind. And he wrote to me that he doesn't even think about those things now. And to get rid of this adulterous mind, he didn't even have... he didn't even sleep with his wife, and it's been 3 years since... it's been 3 years since they stopped having sleeping. And since then, they became even happier. I'm not saying that you shouldn't sleep with your wife or husband. Of course, it's you're supposed to do that. But for them, they stopped it by themselves to get rid of adulterous mind. I think they must be listening to this message in Chuncheon, and they are still young. And because you got rid of adulterous mind, you can just sleep together. So, because after they had many dogs, because they didn't have a baby, they couldn't have a baby for a long time in their marriage. But through my prayer, they gave, they had babies. So then they got rid of all the dogs, and to get rid of this adulterous mind, it's been 3 years that since they slept together, for the last time. And because you don't have any adulterous mind, I think you can just sleep together again. And so to get rid of this adulterous mind, they refrained from these things. And God must be so pleased with them. So that is why they come into spirit so quickly. It's not been such a long time since they came to this church, but they're almost there at the threshold of a spirit. But if you've been here for 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, and if you couldn't cast off adulterous mind, then you have to think about yourself. How pitiful it is. You say you love God and you know there is New Jerusalem, and then obviously you have to get rid of this adulterous mind quickly, and you have to think about what you have been doing for such a long time. You have to look back on yourself. Some people, just in a couple of years, just in several years, they quit. They even refrain from these things, and they get rid of adulterous mind in such a short time, and they cut off even these things, and it must be so easy to cut off the worldly things. And they loved these dogs so much. But it is a spiritual idol, and as soon as they heard it, they just got rid of all of them. And I'm very encouraged by these believers. If you care more for your wealth, fame, children, exercising, or watching sports games or soap operas, and if you give your heart into those things more than to worship and pray and work for God, this can also become an idol. The worldly things are embedded with the thoughts and power of the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of this world. It's not visible, but there is the power of the enemy devil. The worldly things cause us to love the fleshly world of darkness more than we love God. Furthermore, they make people think there is no God or even to stand against Him. Therefore, God's children must not love the world. I want you to check whether you have worldly things as idols in your heart without even realizing it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes asks Jesus, "What commandments is the foremost of all?" What commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered him as follows. Mark 12:29-30 says, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord, one Lord. There are no two, three gods. There is one God creator. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." As said, this commandment is the foremost of all commandments. And if we can't keep this first commandment, how can we say we love God the most? Emmanuel Choir members, you love God, don't you? Obviously, you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And even if it's not the case, you must be trying hard with prayers and fasting. And many of you are just before at the threshold of spirit. Many of you have passed the rock of faith, and after the rock of faith is spirit. And when you pray, you shouldn't be greedy. You ask me, your prayer title is, you want to go into spirit and whole spirit. But you are not even standing on the rock of faith then. How can you go into spirit? You can't do that. Just because you have the desire, the greed. And if you are not standing on the rock of faith, you should first ask to be standing on the rock of faith, and then you can ask to go into spirit. You can't just jump from your level to spirit. Then it is too much. You'll be overwhelmed. You know, you have to go step by step. You have to take each step. As said, God is the only one Lord who is our master. Only the Lord is supposed to rule over us. We must not allow for any other being to capture our mind and control it. As Jesus said, to love God with all our heart, mind, strength, and life is to love God first. Therefore, to love more and to pour our heart more into something other than God is a great lawlessness in violation of the first commandment, which is the most important of all commandments. If you worship idols, your heart will gradually go towards the world, and you will begin to accept the worldly things one by one. If you continually take in the world, which you have to cast off, you will eventually distance yourself from God and you might not be saved. If you accept the Lord and attend church, your Christian life is to cast away sins, your past sins. You have to change, you have to cast away old habits, and you have to practice the truth that you hear, and you have to get rid of your old habits, and you have to go into spirit. This is Christian life. But if you commit sins, and if you commit the works of the flesh leading to death, then if these people are pastors and elders, they are falsehood. That is why my heart is broken. God tells us to go to the east. We have to go to the east, but they are going to the west, and they face so many trials and disasters. In case of elders, they should be receiving blessings, financial blessings, but they don't, and they are suffering. So because of these people, I feel heartbroken. If they don't have any walls of sin, and if they pray this hard, they will receive all the answers to their prayers. But they can't. And also the pastors, they can't bear the fruit. A pastor in a church has to be replaced, and I have to send somebody, and there's nobody to send. And I had to think about it so much. I was in agony. And God moved my heart that I will choose the pastors myself. There are people who didn't commit any works of the flesh. So I can select. Since last Monday, I was moved in my heart. I have so many things to do, and I even have to do these things. Even the theological college, even performing arts committee, and even this, I have to care. I even have to care for students, elementary and middle school and high school students. So I just thought about some people in my prayer. I thought I could think of 5 to 6 persons. They just love God with some, and those who didn't have any relationships with boys or men or women, but even if they had, they just cut off, you know, some past, and they cut off all these things. And I could think of these people, 5 to 6 people. So when I saw them shaking hands, I would ask, what do you, after college or something, what do you want to do in the future? And they would just answer, just like I wanted. I want to become a pastor. There's a college student who is also good at studies. And I thought she'd do that, but she said, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I think she's a senior, or I'm not sure. So I said, I'd like you to become a pastor. And she was so happy, and her parents were also so happy. And she was saying, I was thinking about my future, and it is decided. So she was so happy. And another person, I had her in my mind, and I wanted to talk to her. But on Saturday, after the Friday Olay service, she was saying, Senior Pastor, I want to become a pastor. And those who, the people I had in my heart, they were moved in the heart in the same way, just like me. So all of them were saying that they want to become a pastor. Usually the leaders of United Mission and mission groups, assistant leaders. And there's a student, and she's always smiling. She prays very hard, and I asked her, and she is so happy. So I found, very quickly I found six people. And even in branch churches, if they really love God and the souls and the pastor in charge, they can recommend. And also the pastor, they have to take the responsibility. They must not have any relationship with opposite sex. And if they really love God and the souls, and they can attend this, they can go to this theological college from the second semester, from September. If they are attending the college, if they are sophomore, they can just become, they can join as a sophomore. This theological college is not like universities, but this is a school of God. And if you can be regarded highly by God. So if you just go into spirit, you'll be loved by God, you'll be loved by the church members and these pastors. And I will raise them so that they will go into spirit. So I'll pay for all the tuition until they graduate from the theological college. I'll personally pay their tuition. If the church is supposed to be paying them, I have to get the permission from you. But anyway, so I'll just pay their tuition, and I also give them some money for living expenses. In the right after the beginning of the church, I knew our church was growing so much, and I knew I had to raise many pastors. We were in financial difficulty, but still I paid for their tuition, and I gave them living expenses to raise many pastors. So now I will do that. I'll give them even some expenses, allowances. These students, theological students, they must not be working. They must be praying and learning the Word of God with such a precious time. So that is why I'll give them allowances so they don't have to work. Of course, I believe you believers here love God the Father and long for New Jerusalem in heaven, so you have been casting off even spiritual idols. Even so, I hope you will keep in mind once again as to how meaningless idols are and what kind of tragic outcome idolatry will bring about. I believe all believers, internet and TV viewers who listen to this message all around the world now have understanding of this will of God. I hope you will completely demolish all idols in your lives by relying on the Word of God. Drive away not just the idols that are visible, but the idols of the heart as well, and love God first. That's what I have been doing, and that is why even God has given me even the aurora lights which God has, and you are seeing it with your own eyes. Many people are seeing these lights that are coming out from my body, and the number is increasing. And this is recorded, mentioned in the Bible in many parts. In Ezekiel and Revelation, and many other parts. I'd like to find these passages and read them, explain to you, but and because of that, we had this weather on that day. There was a cloud and it was raining a little bit. And in the Bible, the same thing is written, and the Bible made it in the same way. And let us see this aurora light, like lights. Even if you still have weak faith, as you make up your mind and pray earnestly, the Lord will help you. As you become a child of God who is loved by the Almighty God, you can enjoy the peace and happiness that idols cannot give you. You will be able to taste this happiness to the extent that you cast off idols. After this earthly life is over, you will enter heaven, the kingdom of God. I pray in the name of the Lord, the only Savior Jesus Christ, that you will enjoy this kind of blessing. I'll pray for the sick. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lay your hands on them. Give them spiritual and physical health. Show your works transcending space and time. The organizing committee of the WCDN conference in Australia, through the WCDN conference on June 11th and 12th, that all the Christian doctors and pastors be awakened, and let them also awaken Australia and churches, and also through the medical doctors, that there be a movement of a spiritual awakening about sexual and moral corruption, not just in Australia, but all over the world. Pastor Oren Revari of Israel, let the church that is opened in Latvia receive blessings. Pastor Gonte Kim of Japan will have a handkerchief crusade in Osaka Mami Church on June 11th. And missionary Babesh of India, guide him to a new ministry in the will of God. Let his wife Karen be healed of stomach pain and back pain. Let his son Joshua grow up well in the Lord. Wu Chongwen, Jin Ming, Sun Shorin, let them get a good grade and let them get into the school they want. Ma Eun-gul, Ma Chang-ho, Ba Kyung-ja, be healed of constipation. Give them wisdom to study hard. Father God, lay your hands on them. Diabetes, all go away. All pains go away. Give them peace throughout this week. Protect all the church vehicles, church members' vehicles, and let them make no mistakes while driving. Lord, thank you. Protect them. Surround them with your lights. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.